We were short. We were worried about it. So, let's go ahead and call the meeting to order. First agenda item will be approval of the agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All against say no. Hearing no no's. Approval of the minutes. And that would be the minutes that go back to March, since we didn't have a meeting the last month that we would get a quorum. So, looking at the March 27th minutes, do I hear any motion for approval of the minutes?
I'll make that motion again.
You're a good man, Mike.
I'm a second matter for something.
And we got a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And all opposed say nay. Hearing none. Okay. Item number four, declaration, any letters, opinions, or guidance from outside the advisory presently or in the past. Anything come in, Jim, we need to know about?
Mm-mm.
Anybody else have anything that we need to be made aware of? All right. Going to number five, wings and wheels.
Well, we're deep in planning. We're very excited this year. We're still doing our show on Friday night that was sold out last year. And the Naval Academy parachute team is coming back, and they've actually said that we are now their home training event. So they will be coming back every year as long as we can have it. We're very excited for this year because we are bringing in one of the last four remaining survivors of the Doolittle Raiders. He's 97 years old. He was Jimmy Doolittle's co-pilot in plane one. And he'll be flying in Wednesday night, and he'll be with us the entire time. And I understand that he has stamina that puts 30-year-olds to shame. So we're really looking forward to seeing him. And it's just kind of growing in leaps and bounds. We're getting a lot of new vendors that we've not had before. The word just seems to be getting out there. Every year we're getting more and more. We created a Facebook page and immediately had a bunch of vendors reach out to us and that we had never been reaching before. So it is just continuing to grow. It's continuing to gain momentum and excitement, and we're just really looking forward to it. And the military reenactors are going to be spreading out more so this year. They're bringing more equipment and doing a nicer display. We're kind of changing some things around with the kids' games and things like that, so we're putting some things together for that, and we're going to have that over in this area, so they're kind of off by themselves this time. And we're just growing. Anybody have any questions of me? Would you like to know anything that we're doing or not doing or would like us to do?
What is the expected population you think will show up?
We had about 8,000 last year, so I think with what we're going to do, we're starting to get the hike out there now about to cold, so we're probably going to be somewhere conservatively maybe 9 or 10,000.
What's the date, Linda?
October 4th and 5th. 4th is the canteen show, and then the 5th is the actual event.
Last year was your best day for the weather.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I think that was a lot of a draw as well, because the planes were up in the air so much. The flower bombing competition, if any of you have not seen that, really had the planes just up in the air all day long, and people were just constantly looking up and not paying attention to anything else that was going on. So if you had a golf cart, it was hard to try and keep around people and not them not run into you. The Formation Flyover was a complete surprise for us, the Formation Flyover School in Maryland. Larry had coordinated that and wouldn't tell us that. He just kept telling us we had a surprise, but he didn't tell us, and then all of a sudden the formation flew over. But they will be back this year, now we know that they're coming. So, you know, it is dependent on the weather, of course, with the planes and the cars. We just keep praying that we have good weather. We don't care leading up to it, but as long as Friday night and Saturday we have a great day, I think we're going to see record crowds out. We've got three parking areas with Delmar Christian or Sussex Academy now, and the Sterling Square Shopping Center, and we're also going to utilize the Little League field, and we have have three school buses that will bus people in. We're not going to have any parking here on the airport, which we think will really cut down on the craziness that we had out on Airport Road last year. So, you know, we shut the airport down basically at 9 o'clock when we get everybody in here. And I have a meeting tomorrow morning with one of the owners of Arenas to kind of brief them as to what to expect. They're very much on board with helping us with whatever we can do. Mark is really good about helping us with what we can do with, you know, golf carts and things, so we're very thankful for that. But it just continues to grow and continues to get speed, and everybody that you talk to is just really excited about it. There's just not, and I said this before when I came, I don't know, 2 years ago, I think, Jeff, there's not an event like this that is pertaining to World War II. And it's more and more difficult because they're dying off, so we've kind of had to, you know, the canteen show, we've had to make it 40s and 50s, and with the living history, we couldn't have it last year, but Fort Miles really kind of stepped up and helped us out with a lot of information about submarine warfare off the coast and things like that, and they'll be back again doing that this year. So we're going to have better timelines for when the speeches are going to be. Dick Cole will also do a session, and we're working on a couple of other things. But it's just, you know, one of the things that I find for myself every year, this is my, I'm going into my fourth year chairing this event, and I always, I'm a military brat. My grandfather served in World War II, my father in Korea and Vietnam, so this is like a labor of love for me. I'm very passionate about this, and people tell me that they can kind of see it in me when I talk about it. But I always look for a takeaway that makes what I do and how much work I put into this, and I'm very thankful that I have an employer that lets me do this. But we had a little 9-year-old boy that came last year, and he was all dressed in military gear, and he didn't care about the cars, he didn't care about the planes. All his mom said he wanted to do was be with the reenactors, and they didn't think that they would let him. And my brother happened to be there, and he's ex-Marine, and he said, oh, no problem, we'll take him over. So they took him over, and the reenactors just kind of wrapped their arms around him. They took him through all the tents and showed him all the equipment. And the mother grabbed my brother afterwards and said, you know, you have no idea what you did for this little boy. You just made memories that will last him a lifetime. And when I can have takeaways like that, everything that I do makes it so much worth it. And that's, you know, it's about bringing history here. It's about bringing what, you know, our fathers and forefathers did and whatever. And, you know, stories of, you know, sons and grandsons that were in the reenactors area and were in tents, and they said, you know, my father spent a half an hour, my grandfather spent a half an hour in this tent, and we heard more about what happened during the war than he'll ever tell us when we're at home. And you can't make that stuff up, and you can't recreate that. And so, you know, that's why we do what we do, and, you know, are just continuing to put the work into it that's needed. And we appreciate that everything that the county does and Pats does for us, and Garrett and Jeff when you're out there. So, you know, it's very labor intensive. Jim, he takes me on a roller coaster from month to month. It's like something good and then something bad and then something good. So, but, you know, it's just a great event, and when you see the smiles and everything, it just makes it all worthwhile. So I'm very happy to be involved with it and thank everybody that's involved with it.
How many cars do you think will show up?
We had 325 last year, and we can have upwards of 400 to 500. We had 27 aircraft last year, and we're 227.
If you get around 400 cars, it's going to be a full parking lot out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Denny seems to think that we can do 500 cars out there. And the 325 was only registered for the car show. That's not including any cars that just came out there and weren't really there for the car show.
Do we have the remote control airplanes out there also?
Yeah, Larry has some kind of company that comes out there and does that.
Okay. We may end up having to limit the cars, but, mm-hmm. you know, just because there's only so much.
Well, what we try to look at too is that if the reenactors are over here next to Skip's hangar, we have to limit the equipment that they bring in too, because sometimes they bring in those really large old trucks and that it's impeding the car show, and then you gotta kind of work the car show and them to get everything displayed perfectly. And so, I mean, there may be a time that we're gonna, you know, besides what you tell us to do, but where we're just not, you know, we're gonna have to make a choice of what's gonna be more beneficial for the show, whether it's gonna be the cars or gonna be the, you know, the military equipment. But luckily for us, a lot of the military, like the Jeeps and things like that, because what they tried to do last year, the guys from Fort Miles, was utilize the Jeeps to help take some of the veterans through the airport. So we were coordinating with people that were coming into the airport entrance here and down at this end to give them some rides out here, even though 90% of them wouldn't take it, but you know, they wanted to just kind of get them out there in style. And so they spent a lot more time roaming through the airport than just parked there, so that kind of gave us a little bit more room.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions for Wings and Wheels?
Okay.
Is there any airships or anything? Any air balloons?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I am there.
We had last year, was it last year, Jim? Or a year before last, that some guy sent us, he inflates balloons, and he wanted to fly this thing in every state, and Delaware was on his radar, but it looked like a nightmare, and it just, we said, no, we don't want any part of that, but no, we don't have anything like that.
All right.
They had to build the airport.
I know, but we don't, you know, we were so afraid that if, you know, if, because it's all like individual balloons that he blows up in a chair.
Oh, I see, yeah. Okay.
And we didn't want to take
right.
the chance that if, you know, somebody got hurt, if something happened, and
and we don't have a TFR, so I mean, is that something, Jim, we might be looking at? I mean, Ocean City does a TFR.
Then you get into the air show restrictions and gets beyond the open house type or fly in. And it's not impossible, but it just depends on what you want to do.
Well, I mean, what's the right thing to do? You know?
I don't think we're big enough yet to worry about closing the airport to do it, and I think it defeats the purpose of, you know, people being able to fly in and
like
kind of keep things
Ocean
going.
City has like 2-hour windows, like a 10 to 12 and a 2 to 4 or something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But and I don't know what.
There's really no reason unless you're going to do actual air show maneuvers and stuff, and I think Larry's been trying to stay away from all that.
Yeah, I know. He's been trying to stay away from that because we've got one. Company, it's Red Dragon or something, that emails me every year, and it's an acrobatic jet fighting kind of a group, and they were more involved this year because of the air shows that were canceled from the military standpoint, and they thought, well, these were fighter planes, and you know that they could take the place. But Larry said, you do not want to get involved in that. So you know, I listen to what he tells me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's his bailiwick, so you know, that's what he's there for.
I mean, I'm not telling you no, just
I just want to make sure we thought about it.
If something the committee wants, or the Wings and Wheels committee wants to do, make a proposal. And
I think
we'll
if you did something like that, the only thing that we would look at is that from a parking standpoint, because we're so limited with what we've got, and trying to get people over here on a timely basis. Because one of the things that we thought about is using the industrial park and then busing them over here. But with the live runway, that's what Jim said, that you know, it was too hard for us to do. So, you know, as the event grows, because, you know, we have a lot of parking at the high school. We have more parking now at the Sterling Square because we thought we could only use the paved side of it. Now they told us that we can use all the grass area as well. And then, you know, with the Little League field, you know, that improves a lot of parking for us. But, you know, people, we're going to try and do something better on Airport Road. I'm going to meet with Gene Dvornik to find out if we can do something to really, you know, not let people park there. But people didn't want to wait for the buses, and they were parking their cars everywhere and walking down here, and then it became a nightmare for all the cars that were moving all over the place. And we only had 2 fire police because we've not been able to get anybody else involved with us. And they told us last year, they said, you know, you need to do something different because there's the event's big enough that you've got to have a little bit better control of things. So we had people out in the road, and they were stopping traffic and directing the buses and things like that. So that kind of helped move things a lot quicker. But a lot of people, what people were doing was thinking, you know, when we had the preferred parking here, they were coming to the airport thinking, I can park here, and then they get here and the lot's full, and then they're trying to figure out a way to turn around and get back to where they have to go. And so there's all this traffic and people moving around, and then they were saying that people were telling them at the high school to come down here and park, which was not that, and then they were going to the entrance, and we had the entrance blocked off. So we're really, in all of our advertising and things and on our website, we said there's not going to be any parking at the airport. So we're hoping that that really cuts down a lot of the traffic coming this way.
All right.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And item six, wildlife management update.
There's not a whole lot new. There's a couple places in the fence that we had fixed in the past that for some reason something has broken through, and the deer are able to get in and out. Unfortunately, it involves ditches that are full of water right now, so as soon as they go down to where we can work in those areas, we're going to replace the fencing there. The geese eluded me this year with their nests, and they ended up building back in the little wetland area at the end by the state police. And we didn't see them until they came out of the swamp there with their babies, and so we missed them this year. I did see a couple of foxes on 1028 the other day, so watch out for foxes. And I really haven't seen a big increase in the number of animals that I've seen about anybody else.
Buzzards
out here.
Buzzards seem to be increasing.
Well, now with the rain and the wet areas out there, you know, they kind of congregate around those, and I'm not sure what we do about
them. They allowed to be put permitted and picked off.
That's a possibility.
Any other questions about wildlife? Nothing. Airport update.
All right, lots to talk about. Arenas. They've been open a little over a month now, doing very well. In fact, they're expanding their hours on the weekends. And, you know, there's days, lunchtime, you can't find a parking spot out here, and people are hanging out in the hall waiting to get in into the restaurant for lunch. So it's been a big success. Other new businesses, we've got two banner towing operations now that we've approved for the summer, one that's already started and one that we approved today that is still looking for contracts, but he does have approval to operate out here. The first guy is towing the big Geico banner around, and I guess when he doesn't oversleep. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday down around the beach. So you'll see that operating. And then the guy that we approved today, I forget what his company's called, but he'll have those signs that you can make up. And, you know, if you're looking to propose to somebody or whatever, that's an opportunity for you. The runway extension project, the rain is killing us on that. As you can imagine, you know, we've gotten close to 15 inches of rain in June alone, and that's really slowed things down. The thing that probably hasn't slowed down is the electric work. They've still been able to get out there and work just about every day, unless it's raining real hard. Putting in the new runway lights, the Pappy stands, and so on. So they're moving along. We're expecting to pave probably in mid July now. Again, depending on weather. So when we do that, the plan right now is for a 3-day runway closure. We're looking at ways to minimize that. That puts a big crimp in people's operations, and we understand that. But once we get the paving operation going, especially at the end of the runway, it's kind of hard to move people in and out. They kind of have to keep on going.
That'd be 10-8 and 4-2-2?
No, just 4-2-2.
Okay.
When we get done with this phase of the project, what you'll see is the runway threshold on runway 4 will get put back to where it was when we started. So at the, you know, kind of the 5,000-foot mark, you'll see the arrows beginning at the new pavement leading up to the old threshold as a displaced threshold. Runway 22N won't change. The Pappies on 4 and on both ends, the 22N hasn't, we haven't done anything with the Pappies yet. The 4 end Pappies will just get turned back on because the threshold is back to where it was. And then you'll see the Pappy, the new location for the Pappies. The Pappies won't be there at the end of this project. The second package, what we're calling the second package, which is the milling and overlaying of the existing runway. We opened bids for that June 12th. George and Lynch was the apparent low bidder at almost $4.5 million. A little bit higher than what we were expecting, but still they're the low bidder. And we're looking at applying for our grant sometime next week and waiting to hear from the FAA after that. The project's at 100 calendar days. You know, in the design process, we came up with a plan to close runway 422 in sections, and we're going to do 3 weeks at a time, you know, half and half, with a 1 week opening for the runway to allow Pats and everybody else to do a little planning. We kind of got pushed, and it's probably a good thing to get this project done this year, you know, before it got too cold to work. And we think we can do that. We kind of worked backwards from when we thought the last day that we could work out here was, and, you know, scheduled everything with our 3 weeks on, 1 week off. And the way it worked out was first week in October was when that 1 week opening was. And that just happened to coincide with Wings and Wheels, and so the airport should be fully open for Wings and Wheels.
We have specified dates within the contract. We're talking about us doing the first closure September 11th, and then running for three consecutive weeks, which I believe runs us
the second of October,
which is the Tuesday or Wednesday right before Wings and Wheels. Stay open for that week. The following Wednesday, close again, and be closed for 3 weeks until October 31. And then we'll come back. We have to wait at least 30 days to come back and groove the runway, so there'll be another 5 days, November-ish, December-ish, to groove the runway.
So when you say close, are you, again, 10 and 2/8 still 10, be open?
10/28 will be open. You know, we're doing it in sections so that there's always a taxiway getting to 1028 for people to use, so that that remains open. The grooving part, we've specified Monday to Friday, so that closure won't be over the weekend. And the, you know, the 6 weeks that we gave them to do the milling and paving, you know, those are we gave them the opportunity to work 24 hours a day. You know, we don't expect them to, but, you know, they have that opportunity. I mean, they may come in and say, we're just going to work 24 hours a day and get it done, and, you know, may not be closed for 3 weeks. You know, they may it's definitely going to be open that 1 week, you know, and how George and Lynch comes up with their plan, that's going to affect when it actually is closed. But, you know, for no more than those 2-3 week periods, the runway should be closed.
I was just so we'll point out that, you know, that we did talk about this last week, but that NASCAR is the week right before Wings and Wheels, which is not a huge weekend anymore, but we still do get traffic for NASCAR, some jet traffic, and to the extent George and Lynch could maybe be aware of that, the significance of that date too. I mean, I don't expect them to change and rearrange their whole schedule, but if they at least knew it and now that you suppose they have this option to work 24-hour shifts and you know, make
the
Yeah,
you know,
we're set up to work during those closures, 16-hour days.
Yeah, I remember talking about two shifts a day. I didn't realize, you know.
16-hour days. And we'll talk to them at the pre-construction meeting to see if we can adjust the schedule to try to either start a little earlier, perhaps, and you know, leave that weekend open, or, you know, whatever can be done.
I know at this point it's in the contract bid. I didn't realize it was, you know, that far down the road and all. But, you know, but anyway, I don't know if there was any consideration given to that weekend when the bid package was created or not, but I guess I'll just put it out there now. Yeah, you said 100 days? So
100
calendar
days.
That's, I guess, inclusive of all this downtime before the grooving can take place and the painting. Is that why it's, I mean, that's like, what, 3 months? It's only a
September, October, November.
Only a 3 week closure, 1 week open, 3 week closure. That's 7 weeks there. So is it
right? And there's other work being done in this part of the project. One of the things is to complete the approach lighting system that we're starting in package one.
Okay.
And then also relocating the pappies. And, you know, there's a lot of electrical work as far as the MALS system goes. There's another vault that'll go in over around Park Avenue, and a lot of electrical work that goes with that. When that package of the project is done, the runway will be restriped for displaced threshold on both ends of the runway. As you know, we've talked about this in the past, and we kind of, this plan A, put the threshold back where it is now, or was now. The final configuration is going to have displaced thresholds on both ends, 370 feet on the four end, 170 feet on the 2-2 end. So you can look forward to that, I guess. As far as instrument approaches go, I was kind of surprised with what they did with this first package. The only thing that they don't allow is the vertically guided minimums on the instrument approaches. So the LPV minimums, the LNAV, VNAV minimums, you can't fly those right now, but you can still fly the straight in and the LNAV portions of that. When we reopen the runway, and after package one and the threshold gets put back where it used to be, I would say that the vertically guided parts of that will just be turned back on, if you want to say that. And then once we start with package two and lose those thresholds again, you'll see those go away until the new approaches come out and the thresholds are in the final locations. So I don't think we're ever going to lose instrument approaches here. It's just probably the vertically guided portions of it. Any questions on the runway?
I do have one more question. For the upcoming closure in July, and I understand why we have to close the runway because of the way the paving takes place and on that 3 day period. But as again, we talked about this last week. But is there a reason we have to close the entire runway? Can we close, you know, like 2/3 of it and just have the guys working down the one end, and you know, actually have some barricades or however you would actually not use that last couple hundred feet of runway? Taking runway out of service in April is one thing, but taking it out of service in July is a different thing altogether.
But if you close, and you correct me where I'm wrong, if you close 1/3 of it, isn't that in reality just another 10 to 8?
Well, you know, we can, you know, I don't know the exact numbers, you know, what the safety zone is. I mean, right now we have 300 feet displaced. If we were just to put up some barricades on the last 300, and we have 4,700, then that seems like enough distance for most the smaller jets to still come in and land.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know we would have to do more than 300.
Yeah, again, I don't know the safety. I'm just putting it out there because you can maybe tell me why it wouldn't work. There might be FAA regs and whatever.
Hey, I'll see if I can come up with some numbers, but I think Mike got a point. I mean, but by the time you take everything into account, you're going to cut off quite a bit.
1/3
I'm not sure
would be 3,000.
Well, I just made up a third. I mean, I'm not saying it has to be a third. I'm just, you know, like right now, I thought the I understood the safety zone to be 300 feet from where the guys start working.
Well, and there's also the Part 77 slopes
right.
and,
right. well,
and all the other stuff.
That's why we displaced 300 feet, because that it doesn't
yeah,
make the...
No.
The dump trucks, just think about the dump trucks raising, you know, up to dump the asphalt. They get up pretty high, so you've got to, you know, again, the glide slope pushes you back. But we'll run the numbers and
all
see
right,
if we can work something out and if there's some benefit.
I figured there's a reason why we hadn't done this already up to this point in time, so I guess I didn't really expect this at epiphany that we could automatically do that, but I figured there was probably a reason why. It sounds like it's more the obstacle clearance of the off that.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jim, the first closure is September 11th?
September 11th.
And that runs for 3 weeks?
Yep.
And the second one is?
October 9th through the 30th. And on those closures, there's no option to reopen or pull back just because the runway's torn up.
And is it July closing? Is that established?
No, because we're kind of weather dependent. Like, just for example, that rain we got, whatever it was, Monday night, just set us back basically, just wiped out the whole week. And if it happens again, we're pushed back even further. Now, hopefully we're looking at a drying trend now, like me just looking at the next 10 days of weather. I mean, in reality, we should be getting dust complaints, but we got mud out there. And that's what we're wrestling with every day.
I mean, the good part of those 3 days is we're not doing anything with the runway that's there. You know, that 5,000 feet of pavement doesn't get torn up during that process. There's the possibility of, you know, if they're not working that day, you know, something happens, you know, the runway's available.
During those 3 days, is it still a 7-3 deal where planes can land after the construction's moved out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So from 3 p.m. or whatever time, 3:30 p.m. long,
I would say it's going to be longer than 3, but yeah.
Yeah, they're not working 16-hour shifts, though.
No.
During July, we're talking about.
Yeah,
so July.
During those 3 days.
All right,
okay. Another little project that we're doing hopefully this weekend, some repaving in the industrial park. The road the chicken plant is on is Broad Creek Avenue. Doesn't affect a whole lot of people other than the chicken plants. But, you know, it's part of our upkeep of the industrial park. Like I said, hopefully that's going to be Saturday. So if you were planning on using that road Saturday, make other plans. The other thing that's starting is our repairs to the concrete apron between Sussex Aero Maintenance and the T-hangers. And I sent both you guys emails. The pre-construction meeting is tomorrow. You're going to have somebody there, but obviously those 9 airplanes or whatever sitting there, we need to make other arrangements for. So, I don't know if you got that email or not, but somebody can be there at 10 tomorrow.
Yeah,
Rob or somebody come down.
I don't think I can be there.
But
we can also have a second meet. It's a pre-construction meeting to talk about general construction items, but we can also have a follow-up meeting to talk about actual schedule.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. When do you think, roughly when do you think you're doing it?
Mid-July. It's a 30-day project. We want to make sure it's done by Labor Day. And
what you doing in such a way that you were kind of just doing like piece? It wasn't going to be the entire section at once. Weren't you doing it in pieces, I thought? Something like that?
We're going to do pieces, but here's the problem. They're going to disturb all these concrete pads and the potential for damage to your aircraft if your aircraft are too close to where this concrete is being, you know.
We'll just put all these aircraft, most ones on my end, we'll move over to the grass field.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the temporary transient.
Well,
during the construction.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll have a pre-construction meeting tomorrow, and we'll include in that the arrangement of a meeting with you to talk about the actual how the approach of having done it. That's not an issue.
We'll make room. We'll find something for us.
Okay.
Where is the pre-con?
In my office. The budget was approved Tuesday for next year. Quite a bit of capital improvements for the airport involved with that. The biggest one being the runway project. We've got some stormwater improvements with some of our ditches that's also included. Some more pavement work.
The buzzard ditch should be in there.
The
concerned about the
it
buzzards.
Has a name now, huh?
The buzzard ditch, which the more we get into it, the harder it's getting.
Just making the grades work. It turned out to be a more extensive project than what we originally anticipated to get that water out of there.
Which is why it's not done now, and we had to come up with a better estimate once we got into the survey of it, and so that's been added to the budget, and that money's been approved. We've got fixing some things around the state police hangar, the taxiway safety area down there that they keep blowing away with their rotor wash. Some landside pavement projects like the Broad Creek Road, some drainage things over in the industrial park, and so on. A lot of electrical improvements. We're hoping to replace the taxiway lights on taxiway A on the south end, turn those into LED lights. A lot on the budget for next year. Hopefully we'll get it all done. The business plan is moving along. R.A. Wiedemann and Associates, Randall Wiedemann that was here, we did the SWOT analysis. That's moving along. He'll probably have that wrapped up this summer, and depending on when we meet again, we'll have him or somebody brief the committee on how that came out and some of his recommendations. Any questions?
The couple meetings ago, you mentioned about a tower that was proposed, kind of lining up with 2-8.
Are you ready, Carl?
No, that was a different one. But there was one that was a couple miles.
Long time.
I'm not sure exactly.
That was
where.
A long time ago.
Right.
And it's not happening.
That's not happening.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the VOR 4 coming in on 4 brings it to the north of the field. A little bit. We mentioned that and didn't know if you had any conversations on that.
I didn't, but not sure exactly how that can be, but.
Well, simply just move the VOR.
Yeah. Move the airport. That's all they were trying to tell me tonight.
I'm not aware of any problems with the approach. And
in fact, they were flying the approaches, FAA was flying approaches today. Here.
Yeah. It brings you north of the field. I've always found it that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's designed to do that.
I know. I mean, but I didn't know if there was a way to bring it more to the.
I mean, I was joking, but either move the VOR or move the airport. Because when you draw a line from the VOR to the airport,
change the radio.
Yeah, I mean, if you change the radio, it's going to take you further away.
Well, it depends on where you go.
The 234 radio crosses right over the airport.
On this end.
Well, across the midfield.
It's either the runway end or the missed approach point.
If you look at the approach plate, you can see that there's about a 10-degree angle to it.
I mean, I know it. So when I'm coming in the clouds,
yeah.
I'll cheat a little bit to the south. But then when you pop out, it's pretty much right there.
It's gonna take you straight to Waterloo.
Oh, I know.
So, that's the only thing I can do. And at some point on your way to Waterloo, you're going to pass the missed approach point, and that's.
Well, we're coming in on the 5-3 radio, 053, right?
And so,
yeah, 053.
Because that point goes through, or that radio goes through, either the missed approach point or the runway end. However, they set that up.
I don't think it does.
It's out there.
I mean, I'm just saying, it's, to me, if I was unfamiliar with the airport, I don't know that I would see the airport that far to my right when I'm coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So, just mention it to them and tell them their VOR is off. Jeff, before we leave this topic, one more thing. I'm going to introduce Joe Wright. Joe is Jeff's ex-boss, believe it or not. And we brought Joe on board as assistant county engineer. One of his missions is to kind of channel all these capital projects that have been approved in the county's budget and kind of move forward in a timely manner.
So he won't only be calling me on drainage, but he'll also be calling me on on aviation lingo.
That is correct. I think he's been here 2 weeks. I think he's well versed in aviation lingo already.
All right, good. Does everybody had any chance to interact with Joe? I know Gus has. Darren, have you?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay.
I have not.
Did you want to take a few seconds to introduce yourself? Cause
yeah, I'm Mark Ryan. I work over at PATS. If you need anything, just give me a call. Jim's got my numbers. Mike's got my numbers. I'll give you a card before I leave.
You folks do a tour periodically?
We do, yeah. And I give personal tours. You were talking about Wiederman. Last week I got a call Friday 5:30 of an hour and a half giving a tour and video and taking pictures. Mm-hmm. I forget the gentleman's name. He was up at Dover, I think.
Yeah, Rob Barber. Yeah.
But that's an interesting place over there, Jeff. I mean, if you get a chance.
Well, I want to come over. I'll give you a card for them.
Do you want to talk about the business plan at all?
I still got my help.
All right. Anything else for the airport update from anybody?
I wondered that chicken pad down. Did they pay? Did we get enough for how many pay for this asphalt roof? Blacktop. You got a roof blacktop?
We got all the rent that the county council asked them to pay.
That wasn't the question.
Have you paid enough taxes to pay for that Wilson Hill Road we paved?
No. Sure we're,
all right.
We've been paid our 5th year now.
I know, but the money's going up a little bit. Money's going up a little bit. All right, next item. Let's stay with the agenda. All right, economic development was Julie. Does anybody want to speak for Julie? Hearing no Julie's, we'll go to the next item. Delaware gasoline tax. Garrett?
I don't have anything to update on this since March 27th. There's been no movement. I've not communicated with Ruth Briggs King, so I have no update.
Well, actually, you're going to get it, but I heard this morning they loaned it to the casino.
The casino.
So you're out.
All right. So we're on standby for the gas tax. Number 10, public comments. Anybody signed up for any public comments? Yes, sir.
I got one. Just something on the front. Has the airport ever thought about selling parking spaces for Wings and Mules?
Actually, they do. The preferred parking here, I think, was a $5 fee or $10 fee last year. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was.
$5. You say that the airport's selling it. Wings and Wheels is actually a Chamber of Commerce and the museum and the car club event. You know, we just provide them the place to have it. So, you know, any charges is up to them. You know, the airport doesn't get anything out of it other than the
But are
the
they doing away with that this year? She said there was going to be no parking out
here
at all.
Well, they had been using the field here next to the solar panels, but Delftech put their building out there, so there's really no parking spaces there. And that's the big reason. It's just we're running out of places for them to have parking.
Anything else, sir?
I guess I can park up. I wonder what about going on the other end and have this Wings and Wheels deal.
Well, you got that big asphalt thing out there called the runway separating. That's going to be a problem.
Oh, yeah, on the other, you got a Truett's house?
But, I mean, people are going to want to be over here where the vendors are.
Well, take the vendors all over. Take everybody over. Take the whole project. Go with it. Why is it happy on this end? We got all the room on that end. Got a lot of room down there.
That's a question for the committee. I mean, the airport can maybe dictate that, but I think they...
I mean, there's a lot of room there. If you go down there, you'll find runways, parking spaces, you've got place to put head on the grass, you got a lot of room.
I know arenas probably wouldn't like that.
Well, I don't know if arenas want to fly that much. They get hungry, they take a driving car, they can drive right here to arenas. We don't have any room over here. We've already admitted that. So we're still in the airport, we still got the flying, we still got everything down there. Mm-hmm. What difference? Except you got room to park. Okay. We didn't have the program.
I don't know that there's that much additional room.
A lot of room down there.
I know the old runway down there.
A lot more room than this here on this end, I guarantee you that. 10 times.
What was the old runway? 200 feet wide?
150.
150. Okay, well, all we can do is mention that to the Wings and Wheels Committee. I mean, probably too late to change this at this point for this year. Okay.
I don't know if I can do it. I was just in here listening to them talk about no room to park. Got to drive correct to school. Don't have to high school. Go to airport. Jump to drive there. You park 1,000 cars in no time. You got plenty of room for the vent, nothing else. And they can see the plane fly on that end of Kansas City. Maybe better, but you know, more clear on it.
We can't mix the ground movement of the planes with the public. I mean, ground movement of the planes with the public, you got to keep separated. I don't know. I'm just sitting here trying to picture how we would do that.
Well, we got a runway out there now.
Okay.
Just something for you to chew on.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be talking it over with...
I don't know if they even thought about it. I knew years ago, we used to have 4th of July celebration at the college. And they brought it up here to the airport, up on that end. It would have went, except for one thing. The Boy Scouts got the right idea. They're going to park the cars for about $10, $15, and all we got to drive, all they had was venue. And people not go. People go buy stuff and pay $10 to park or whatever, just go and see a bunch of people's got stuff to sell. You get that idea, and it's blue. It don't do it. I don't care who you are or right. What you're selling. You may be selling gold, $10 gold piece for $5. You might get it that way or something, but you're not going to. Every person, and it's by the second year, this thing is flopped. That's in the 4th of July.
Well, that's something that we'll have to take up with a committee. But let's get back to our public comments. Any other public comments?
Public comments.
You're on the committee. You're on the advisory committee. You're not part of the public. All right. Item number 11, next meeting. Sitting here at June 20th. Wings and Wheels is October 3rd, 4th, 4th and 5th. Do we want to have one prior to Wings and Wheels? That would make it August.
There's all your fourth Wednesdays until then.
That would be August 28th, September 25th. That would be the...
I would suggest that we follow the precedent from years past. I think we've taken July and August off and reconvene in September.
Before you make that decision, can I ask a question? Do you feel like, you know, August 28th would be prior to shutting down the runway on September 11th? Do you feel like you want to sit here like we did tonight and talk about the project, or you think you're okay without doing that?
Well,
now that I know Joe's a resident expert on the airport, I have an immediate contact.
You have faith in Joe? Hey, I'm fine.
I would say what we've done in the past is when we've had things like this, we left it to the committee chairman to call a meeting, but we schedule a meeting for September, perhaps, mm-hmm. and if the September project actually does come to fruition and on the timeline that's been laid out, then maybe we should have a meeting in August, but maybe we not make that decision yet until we know for sure that project's taking place on those dates that you're saying September 11th. Could handle it that way.
Any other feedback from any other members? Todd, you've had a lot to say tonight.
I'll leave that decision up to the folks that are using the airport. I would think you'd want to hear before shutdown what we're going to do and have the chance to ask questions so that all hear the same response. But August is a tough month, so there's a balance there.
And it's the week before Labor Day.
Right.
It is that Wednesday before Labor Day.
While we're waiting here, isn't this Firefly next week?
This week.
Starts
tomorrow. And maybe, you know, maybe because this is a significant event, maybe there should be a meeting, maybe it's this group, but maybe a meeting for all airport users.
More
really
of a public
them,
meeting
yeah,
set
really,
up.
Yeah, it really encourages them to send that blast email out that, you know, this is a big deal closing this runway for seven weeks, I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we not have a committee meeting as much as we have a meeting for all the users of the airport
mm-hmm.
and really try to get them out here so they understand what the impacts are and the timing and all that.
Is that better to have that a daytime meeting or a nighttime meeting? Do you think more people would show up one way or the other?
Well, we could do that through that pilots group.
Probably, there's that venue, the pilots meeting, which is the second Saturday of every month. There's also, I mean, you're never going to please everybody.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I think the evenings are better for most people
mm-hmm.
if you're working.
Okay. Well, we'll make ourselves available if you come up with a recommendation, Garrett. We'll make ourselves available.
I briefed the pilots group on the notes that I usually take through these meetings. And I've got the dates written down here. I think I can explain why, but if anybody has any questions, then I'm just going to point them to, you know, for specific direction to Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, somebody's going to have something they didn't think of and they want to get out. But now the hangars, going back to the 10-2-8 closure, or not 10, the 4-2-2 closure, the people that have hangars here, are they going to be blocked off, isolated, cut off, however you want to put it? They'll be able to taxi out and get to 10-2-8.
Mm-hmm. We should be able to taxi out. I would imagine so, whether we cross midfield or further down and back taxi on 10-2-8.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Because that's when most of my flying is going to be starting.
No.
The Bahamian mm-hmm. Express?
No.
Uh-huh.
All right, so with the next meeting, I'm leaning towards the September 25th date?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what I'm hearing?
Agreed.
Do I need to take a vote on that? Everybody in favor of September 25th? Say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Say nay. And then we always reserve the right if there's some big issue that comes up, you know, through the contract or some other reason that we can reconvene and have a meeting. Our minimum notice would be a week. We have to put out an agenda.
Agenda has to be posted a week ahead of time.
So it has to be posted a week ahead of time. So other than that, can I hear a motion to adjourn?
Adjourn.
You got it.
So I'll be adjourned.